40 greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
My special guest on this Friday is the athletic and multifaceted stunt woman, Jessie Graff. And Jessie joins us now by telephone from Los Angeles, California. Jessie, welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Thank you. I like to stay on the sunny side.
I recently began following you on both Facebook and Twitter, and your Twitter account definitely caught my eye, the profile. Let me just run down the descriptions. Stunt woman, actress, superhero, ninja warrior, martial artist, gymnast, pole vaulter, circus artist. You're not easy to define, Jessie.
No, and I like it that way.
In terms of social media, Jessie, has it been a boost to your career?
It depends. Like, stunt people are kind of like our own little community. We all of our networking is on set and in the gyms, and having a fan page and a following really doesn't affect my stunt work almost at all. And I guess transitioning into more acting opportunities, I think it's picking up, but it's kind of a slow process. So as far as, I don't know, it's caused a huge change in my life and a lot of really cool opportunities to interact and inspire young kids and adults. But like, as far as actual career effect, I don't know that I've seen a correlation between social media and stunt work.
Okay. I saw the video of you and your mother doing the chin-ups, and I was wondering, do you work out often with your mother?
No, I wish. She lives in North Carolina, and I live in California, and she's totally self-motivated. I mean, like, I think I learned my work ethic from her, for sure, and I got kind of my inner drive and approach to life from just what I observed her doing. And so when she's doing upper body strength training or ninja obstacles, she'll send me videos of herself doing it, and I give her tips on the phone. But she has her own personal trainer. She does her own workouts. And it's just, you know, one more thing that we can bond over when we're chatting on the phone.
In terms of your workouts, Jessie, do you like to use your body weight, tensile-type strength, rather than free weights?
Definitely, I prefer doing body weight stuff. I find it more fun, more entertaining, more applicable. But I do weight training as well as part of my injury prevention. And, you know, if you're just doing pull-ups and trapeze, you're going to get muscle imbalances from doing repetitive motions that are more skill-oriented.
Right.
And so I do the weightlifting basically to find where those muscle imbalances are and make sure that I even everything out.
Looking at your biography, I know you did the pole vault in both high school and college. That discipline of the pole vault, how has it helped you doing your stunt work?
Doing stunt work? Well, in pole vaulting, especially if you're one of the top competitors in the event, you're going to get an hour warm-up where everyone's vaulting, taking turns on the runway, and then a period of time anywhere from 10 minutes to 3 hours where you're kind of waiting for your first turn and watching the competitors and trying to gauge, okay, when do I start warming up? Because you don't want to warm up too early. You don't want to wait till the last second and not have time to get warmed up. And so being able to be in that situation where you have nothing to do and you're waiting on outside circumstances that are very unpredictable to tell you okay, now warm up and you're ready to go. And that's what we do on set, of course. We're waiting for our turn. It could be 30 seconds. It could be 12 hours. And I think a lot of people can get psyched out by that, or they'll just completely wear themselves out trying to stay warm for that many hours. What else? I mean, just the explosiveness, the air awareness, ability to, like, because you're shifting equipment so often. It's going to be a different runway every time. How do you adapt for the wind speed and wind direction? If you're slightly faster or slightly slower one day, you're going to have to switch poles and feel the difference in how that pole behaves and adjust to it. The awareness, it all translates pretty well.
How important is that spatial awareness, knowing where your body is in the air, whether you're trying to clear a height in the pole vault or reach for that next obstacle?
Well, I'm going to say even more important in stunts because there are so many unpredictable outside factors. I remember this one time I got thrown out a candy glass window, like a third-story window, and when we practiced it without the glass in place, it was a very straight shot. But something about the way the window panes were positioned or the way the guy threw me caused me to go a little bit sideways so that I was going straight towards a beam that was like maybe half a story down. And so having the air awareness and the sort of alertness to see it coming and, you know, when you're falling, that's happening so fast. And I was able to just reach out with one arm and push away from it mid-fall and still land safely. And so all those little things that you can't predict beforehand, or you try, but things that come up, if you're doing a car scene and a pedestrian walks out, well, that's not as much air awareness. But just being able to adapt to those little things. Front flips on a mini tramp are super easy. Well, now add a heavy wig that goes up really high, nearsighted glasses, and an 18th century skirt. And, like, how do you adjust to those little differences? Well, those are kind of big differences. But knowing where you are in the air so that when things go differently than you expect them, you're able to adjust and land safely. And, of course, that plays into Ninja Warrior 2.
For our Voice of America listeners just tuning in, I'm talking with Jessie Graff, stuntwoman, actress, superhero, ninja warrior, and also a martial artist. Can you talk about that, Jessie, your background in the martial arts?
Yeah, I guess when I started watching Buffy and Xena, but especially Jackie Chan, I was just fascinated with this style of movement and how well it tells a story. But of course, like the ability to defend yourself if you were ever attacked and protect the weak and be a hero. And so when I got into stunts, that was highest priority, learn how to do that so I can tell those stories on film. And so a lot of it was just making friends with stunt guys who were national champions in karate or taekwondo, training with other guys who were teaching kung fu and boxing and kickboxing and just absorbing everything I could. And I also got into some classes. I went through and got my black belt in taekwondo and in kung fu. But so much of it is just copying the other people around me who are better than me and, you know, doing everything I can do to catch up and improve myself. And the reaction time that you develop from sparring has been so helpful just in every aspect of stunts and obstacle racing. Yeah, I love the martial arts. And when we're doing it for stunts versus for actual fighting, it's such a cooperative dance of we're both trying to make each other look as strong and powerful as possible to tell this story. And I just love it.
During your career, you've had the chance to do stunts in both movies and television. Do you have any favorite stunts at this point in your career? Maybe one or two during a movie?
Yeah. One of the most fun was on Leverage when I got to jump off a 36-foot bridge onto a moving train, which was so exciting because I love heights. I love high falls. But then adding that component of timing where if you jump at the wrong time, you're falling between the boxcars. And so I just love that timing and figuring out the physics of it. And so we would drop sandbags from the bridge. And there was another guy with me, Austin, who he was supposed to jump straight down and I was supposed to jump forward, which makes even less room for error. And so we would drop and throw our sandbags at the same time and make sure they were hitting our marks so that when we jumped ourselves, we knew we were going to hit the target on the mat placed on top of the boxcar. So that was probably my favorite. But I did also get to get picked up by a helicopter on the beach where they just dropped a 30-foot circus ladder. And I just, like, run up the beach and grab the ladder, and they start going up in the air, and I get to climb the ladder while we're floating over the ocean. And it was so much fun.
In terms of your academic work, Jesse, I mean, it's incredible. It seems like it fits right in with what you're doing now. You studied aerospace engineering, and then you switched to a theater major.
Yeah, and it was funny because everyone was like, well, that's a crazy switch. Like, those things don't have anything in common. But, of course, they both apply so well to the career I'm doing now. I love the physics of how, you know, what is the pendulum and what the trajectory of objects flying through the air. And if you're going to jump a car off a ramp, what's the angle of the ramp and the speed of the car so you can calculate where it's going to land so you know where to put the boxes and the landing pad and the friction. Like, it's just, it all applies so well. But, of course, that's like being a theater major and knowing how to act with your body, how to portray a character. If you're in a fight, are you the victim or the villain or the hero, and how does that affect your posture? And then, of course, now that, you know, when I'm auditioning and I have a couple lines, or if I'm trying to get a bigger role, obviously the theater major is going to come in handy.
So what sports did you participate in growing up?
I started with circus training, mostly trapeze, Spanish web, aerial silks, and flying trapeze was the one that I was totally in love with. But then I got into competitive gymnastics. I went up to level 9. That's when I started pole vaulting. Did that through college, and then martial arts.
Yeah, getting back to the martial arts, has it helped your focus when you're doing these stunts?
Yeah, I think it's improved my ability to read other people's motion, and that's something I'd still like to get better at. But, you know, all my sports prior to martial arts were very much my own body moving through the air, and now the martial arts is helping bring in how do I interact with another person or with an opponent or a teammate, and that's extremely useful in stunts.
Do you put a time limit, Jesse, on your career? I mean, you know, stunt work is not an easy job in terms of the physical nature of it. How much longer do you think you can go on doing it?
Definitely not measured in time. It's just everything I do is measured in how long am I inspired by this thing. If there comes a point where I'm not excited to go to work and I don't feel like it's driving me to improve myself and my skills and my life, then I'm going to move on to something else that inspires me more. Because there's always something. I mean, whatever I'm most inspired by, there's still 5 other things that I'm like, oh, I want to do more of this, but I want to do this first thing more. And so when I'm not as inspired by stunts, then, you know, it'll probably be acting or personal training or, like, there's so many things that I want to do. And when one of those things overpowers my desire to do stunts, that's when I'm going to transition. But I have friends who are 60 and 70 that are doing stunts, and they're amazing and crazy successful at it. And as long as they are having fun and inspired and excelling at it, why would they ever stop?
Do you have any favorite action heroes?
Like, that I would want to be? I would love to be Spider-Woman or the Dread Pirate Roberts. I mean, when he retires, he trains a protege. So I would like to be that protege. There's a Japanese anime about a female King Arthur that would be super fun. Yeah, definitely. Mostly I just want to be like Jackie Chan, though.
Getting the American Ninja, the name of the show is American Ninja. Is that right, Jesse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, American Ninja Warrior.
When you completed that course, the first female to do it, Did you get any type of feedback from young girls, that type of thing?
Oh, my gosh. That's been the coolest part of it. I mean, one of the coolest things in my entire life is just every day I'm getting pictures and videos of little girls who are dressed up like me, climbing trees and jungle gyms, doing pull-ups, push-ups, just inspired to get strong and more capable and just having increased self-confidence and drive. And it's so cool to have a part in their journey. It's just been the best thing ever.
Finally, Jesse, I know you have a lot of different interests. Do you have any immediate goals, say, in the next year or so?
Let's see. I would like to learn a one-arm pull-up, climb a 512B, maybe get my second degree black belt in Taekwondo, 33 pull-ups, just because that's next after... Wait, no. My best is 30, but I want to get 33 by January. So many things. I want to get better at dirt bikes and make music videos because I have, like, a bunch of parody songs, but definitely do, like, an action movie where I get to be, you know, the action star. Man, there's so much. How do you choose? Which one takes top priority? I think doing the action role takes top priority right now. And the other things will fill in the gap wherever I have spare time.
Jesse Graff, stuntwoman, actress, superhero, ninja warrior, martial artist, gymnast, pole vaulter, circus artist. Thank you very much for talking with us on the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brillafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Let's open the Sunny Side of Sports mailbag now for some feedback from Africa. Nialuol Chan sent me a Facebook message from Juba, the capital of South Sudan. Nial heard our story this week on Rigobert Song, the retired Cameroonian football star, who was rushed to a hospital in Paris after suffering a brain hemorrhage. Nial says Song was one of his favorite players, and he wishes him a speedy recovery from the stroke. A quick update on Song. The French sports newspaper L'Equipe says he had successful surgery in Paris, and the bleeding in his brain has been controlled. L'Equipe also quotes relatives of Song, including his nephew, Alexander Song. They say that Rigobert is breathing without oxygen support. 40-year-old Rigobert Song was the longtime captain of the Indomitable Lions, Cameroon's national football team. He played in 4 World Cups for Cameroon, and with 137 international appearances, is the most capped player in Cameroon football history. the Sunny Side of Sports joins Nialuwal Chan in Juba in wishing Rigobert Song a speedy recovery. Magnus Chisholm Onwuadiwe, the longtime and loyal, humble apostle of the Sunny Side of Sports, checks in again from Owerri in Imo State, Nigeria. Magnus listened to Nnamdi Mwaita's hard-hitting boxing commentary on Thursday's show. In particular, Nnamdi's comments on the possibility of a world heavyweight title fight between Anthony Joshua and Vladimir Klitschko. The humble apostle writes that Joshua Klitschko would be an interesting fight. Magnus says he thinks age is catching up to the 40-year-old Klitschko, and the law of diminishing returns may conspire to make him more vulnerable to Joshua, who will celebrate his 27th birthday next week. And while no contracts have been signed, Anthony Joshua says he's confident a fight against Klitschko will take place.
It'd be amazing for boxing in general, for British boxing, for the people that I wanted to see a general step up in class. It ticks all the boxes for me at this present time. A heavyweight fight, you know, a former champion and a current champion, it's a fight that definitely ticks that box that will get people's hairs off their skin, you know. It's an interesting fight. It's definitely one that people have got interested in just by mentioning it. So there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. You know, we're dealing with a legendary sportsman in Klitschko and a current champion, so there's egos on the table, you know, so we've just got to put that aside and hopefully we can definitely get this deal done.
Anthony Joshua has had a very successful 2016 and we'll have to wait and see if he fights Vladimir Klitschko in either November or December. If he does, it would be Anthony Joshua's third fight of the year. In April, he won the IBF heavyweight title with a second-round knockout of American Charles Martin at the O2 Arena in London. And then in June, Joshua made a successful title defense, stopping another American, Dominic Brazil, in the seventh round at the O2 Arena. If you would like to leave a voicemail for possible use on a future Sunny Side of Sports broadcast, please call 1-202-205-9942. Once again, that number, 1-202-205-9942.
VOA!
When you hear the VOA identification, press 60, and please include your name and where you are calling from.
Voice of America!
Hello, this is Magnus Chisholm calling from Imo State in Nigeria. I love listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. It's always a daily delight of listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. Once again, Magnus Chisholm Onwuadiwe calling from Imo State in Nigeria. I'm wishing all the Sunny Side of Sports listeners all the best. Bye.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And if you check out my Facebook page today, Friday, you'll see a photo of Jesse Graff, my special guest on the show, doing a backflip in New York City. Jesse says she loves New York. In fact, she flips over it, and in the background of the photo, you can see some of New York's skyscrapers. My Facebook friend Eddie Manda in Chalilabambwe, Zambia, saw the photo, and Eddie's response was simple and succinct. OMG. Oh my God. And that wraps up the October 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Peter Hundley. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Partnership makes all things possible. The people of Burundi have greater access to life-saving medicines with the assistance of the United States. The U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, recently announced the successful completion of 2 5-year projects aimed at enhancing the supply of essential medicines for malaria and HIV/AIDS in Burundi. During the project closeout event, which took place in Bujumbura, USAID Country Representative Victoria Gellis praised the efforts of all partners in strengthening the health system and reiterated the commitment of the United States government to support Burundi to meet the health needs of the people. Through the two projects, Systems for Improved Access to Pharmaceuticals and Services, or SIAPS, and Supply Chain Management System, or SCMS, the United States government collaborated with the government of Burundi, Management Sciences for Health, and other partners to produce and distribute essential medicines and supplies for HIV/AIDS and malaria, including 9 million ACT drugs for malaria, 7 million rapid diagnostic test kits for malaria and HIV, and diagnostic supplies for laboratories. Implemented by Management Sciences for Health, the SIAPS and SCMS project supported the development and rollout of a logistics management system that provides timely information about the inventory and consumption of commodities at districts and health facilities. The projects also supported the upgrade of the National Pharmaceutical Warehouse to prevent the unnecessary expiration of essential drugs and commodities by improving the storage and management practices of the warehouse. The U.S. government, through USAID, provided more than $18 million U.S. dollars over 5 years for the procurement and distribution of health commodities in Burundi through the SCMS and SIAPS projects. The United States government provides more than $40 million U.S. dollars annually to support HIV/AIDS, malaria, nutrition, and family planning programs in Burundi. The United States is proud to work with its partner, Burundi, to help meet the health needs of the Burundian people.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. VOA. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
This one, this one,
every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists, too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, political talks in the Democratic Republic of Congo have resumed after being suspended weeks ago following 2 days of deadly protests on the streets of Kinshasa. We'll discuss the latest developments in the DRC next on Straight Talk Africa at 1830 UTC.
The U.S. presidential election takes place on November 8, 2016. VOA provides extensive coverage of this important political event. Who are the candidates, and what are the issues that will determine who the next president will be? Tune in around the clock for coverage of the U.S. presidential election, right here on VOA.